Mr. Semester.
Yes, sir. Boy, semester man.
Semester man, welcome.
Yes, 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 yes.
How's that side?
Ah, that side is good. You know, it's good. It's hot out here, man.
Yeah.
Like, don't you see? I need like a towel, you know, over my head. I need a water bottle. Like, how do you guys live out here, fam?
Did you bring me?
Hold up. You know, I gotta check my Gucci bag to see what's in there. You know, as I strap it up.
Did you bring me iPhone 15?
iPhone 15?
Yeah.
Oh man, you know that one. I even brought iPhone 20. Didn't you know they have 20 over there?
Oh no, no sir.
Yeah, 20. I run it over there, man. I run everything. I own everything.
You own everything,
bro. Name it, anything you want. I got it.
That's why I want to be like you when I grow up.
Big chilling. Come. Make that's sure you just crazy. Come.
Wow.
This is how it be.
Yo, he said it best. Episode 10.
Season finale. Da-na-na-na.
My people, welcome.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to the Bantaba.
Yes, the Bantaba.
This is episode 10. The last one of season one, and it's been a hell of a ride.
Yes, it's been. It really has been. Seriously.
We thank God for all the listeners, all the special guests, and everyone that has played a part in this season one.
No, definitely. And, you know, like, just to mention again, like, to get people, like, off why we're doing this. Like, literally, we were just, like... We kept having these conversations that you guys have been hanging over the nine episodes.
Yeah.
We would have it all the time and, you know, probably delve into it a lot of times. And we're like, why are we not recording this? And we would have this with our friends.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, like you said, what we wanted to start this podcast was, you know, it's just for our friends, you know, so that, you know, to hear, listen to our conversations. But, you know, once we started getting inspired by knowing people even we didn't know of.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, so it's been a really good journey. And for me personally, it was a lesson of, you know, always don't always be, because at first, you know, I was like, no, what's the point? Why we got to do this? You know, like, you know, always being pessimistic or looking at the negative thing. It's a waste of time. Blah, 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 you know. So sometimes, you know, you got to be, you know, we're all like that. We like to be in our comfort zone and stuff. Mm-hmm. So. This was definitely like outside my comfort zone, and I've learned so much from it and grew a lot from it. So, you know,
I mean, and for me, first of all, hearing myself talk on the mic, that was like the first episode. I was like, I don't really like this, but like now I don't even think about it. You know, I just talk, and to see the growth that like I think you and I have experienced through these past 10 episodes. First of all, documenting our thoughts, right?
Yep.
And not being filtered with it. And then having the, you know, conversations with people in person.
Yep.
When they have listened, you know, and you elaborate on those thoughts.
It's a, you know, it's a whole, you know, we're improving, like, our communication skills. This is the stuff that, you know, like, we are applying or, you know, just understanding how to share your thoughts, you know. And as you can see, you guys will see across the episode how we are. So, you know, who knows?
I mean, I'm in a very different place than I was 6 months ago.
Fam, if you told me even just early last year, like, bro, you're going to have a podcast and record it, I'd be like, you're mad. Yeah. What?
It's a mad thing. Like,
mad thing, fam.
Never, but...
So, you know, so... Yeah, but, you know, guys, you see, this is how it is, you know.
And what blows me away is people are vibes in it, you know. Like, people hit...
That's the best part of it, you know.
...us back, and they're like, yo, like, I appreciate you talking about this, because I relate to it in this manner.
Relate to it, or get something from it, or learn something.
Exactly. Like, you know? even, like, some of our friends who are jokers. Okay, they're not jokers. But you understand, like, you meet them on, like, some fun...
Yeah, we're like usually some fun also, shit, right? Fun, we're always, it's always fun shit, you know?
And then they approach you and they're like, yo, like, at first I was just listening to support, but now I'd like...
Now, nah, like, you know.
Now I'm listening because this is, like, educational or whatever have you, whatever their reason is, you know, it's therapeutic. Like, that's
bro, that's all you need to hear to let us know that, you know, we need to keep it going and we're motivated and, you know... Like I said, it's both ways, you know. We're learning, you know, and it's a learning platform as well.
Yeah.
You know, besides the jokes and that.
Exactly. we're not, you know, teachers by any means, but we're teachers.
No, hell no, we're not teachers.
In small ways, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Small ways. So small victories everywhere.
Yeah, of course, guys, you know.
So big up everyone. For the special guests, big up to Kiki.
Yep.
Ishmaila.
Yes.
Gym Master Matt.
Gym Master.
Phoebe and Chica.
Jesse.
Jesse.
Uh-huh.
Leslie.
Yes.
And J-Man and Snowman.
Snowman.
5 minutes of snow. He's coming
back. 5 minutes of snow.
Next season.
Yo, Snowman's actually, side notes, he's actually ready now, you know, because, you know, the slopes are open. It's ski season now. So if anybody's trying to get some, you know, snowboarding lessons, you know, you guys know.
From the first Ghanaian snowboarder.
The first Ghanaian snowboarder, you know, out here. He's done a good job. You know, I ain't going to tell him. Well, he probably know now, but, you know, I won't be giving him props. But
his head might just
explode. His first time he did snowboarding was December of last year. Exactly this time last year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's also another thing, guys. You know, it's like someone, you know, he's never done this. I ain't going to, you know, expose him like this, but long story short, he was a bit overwhelmed by the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of choked in it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's like, all right. But, you know, he didn't just say, all right, F this. I ain't going to do it again.
Uh-huh.
It's like, all right. He took lessons, got into it, got really good.
Uh-huh.
And now I think he's even trying to be an instructor. We did this all within under 1 year.
Yeah.
Shout out to J-Man the Snowman.
Big up the
first
big
time.
Man.
So don't ever say I don't give you props, nigga.
Hey, nah, for real though.
But it was good though. In hindsight, I read that, I'm like, bro.
That's like what we talk about.
Overcome your fears, grow. You know, just because your first experience was shocking or you weren't able to, you know, get over it mentally, that doesn't mean that was the end of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I looked at that. I'm like, that's great, bro. Like,
big
this
moves.
Is really good. J-Man the Snowman.
J-Man the Snowman.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. J-Man, what we got today, fam?
Son, first of all, we need to recap last episode because the feedback that we got, guys, you need to give us like 1 hour is not enough to cover every single thing.
It is hard. We will miss everything, you know. We'll miss some big things.
But
of course.
But you understand, like, still, it was very positive and. But people wanted us to touch on a few things from the last episode.
All right.
Number one, the relevance of Fela Kuti to today's Afrobeat movement.
So we definitely, like, you know, like I said, it's in the episode. And, I don't know how, you know, to be honest, it crossed my mind because...
But I think
he
also,
is, do we call him the, he is the godfather of Afrobeats.
For what we deem as
for what
Afrobeats
we deem about like that Afrobeats, you know,
yeah.
So
anything like basically,
Fela was
Nigeria.
A pioneer. Fela, you know what I classify him as the closest thing, the Bob Marley of Africa.
That's
if you not okay. Actually, never mind. I'm not saying the Bob Marley for Africa. In Nigeria, in terms of his significance,
okay.
It was a Bob Marley status in Nigeria for what he represented.
Okay.
I don't mean Bob Marley of Africa. I mean in Nigeria at his times, right?
Okay.
70s, he's human rights activist. The fight against oppression that he was pioneering through his music, that was Bob Marley like in Nigeria at that time. That's what I read about. You know, if any Nigerians or anyone who knows about Fela, could you confirm that to me? Because, you know, over the years, that's, you know, I've heard that a couple of people have told me that, like, Fela was like God Marley, Bob Marley status, like God status, you know.
Yeah.
I've read about him, you know, over the years and stuff. And, you know, like I said, you heard about his fight against, you know, especially like when the military rule came in, Obasanjo, Yar'Adua, you know, and how they attacked him. So there are a lot of stories of him being that, you know, through his music, showing that defiance that was Bob Marley like in terms of a revolutionary.
Okay. Then I agree with that.
So that's a, you know, because if you look at it, that's how it's.
And I think the reason I didn't like completely agree is because he was relevant to a specific region and time.
That's what I'm saying. I don't mean Africa.
And then, like, we celebrated.
He celebrated. So I mean, like, Nigeria at that time. But,
his music, revolutionary,
guys,
man.
Yeah, from Burna Boy.
Yep.
Within Mango do so yeah. Actually Burna Boy, you know, my sister used to say this to Isaac, she always says it's like Burna Boy is like heavy. Well, Burna Boy says it himself. Yeah. He has a chain, that Ofela chain. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. If it's no secret.
Like, you know, like I know if you guys don't listen to Fela Kuti, like you listen to some of his songs, you know, Gentleman, I don't be gentleman at all, you know, Lady, or you know, like The Curse, you know, that even from Ye, I don't get this, I don't get that, you know. I want buy a house, right. I want, like all of those were Fela sang about those things, you know, especially with that same thing. So Burna Boy clearly got inspired. So a lot of Burna Boy's music, if you listen to Fela, you directly know, like, you know, like Burna Boy's direct inspiration is from Fela, like the music.
And Wizkid too.
Wizkid, yeah.
Wizkid too, definitely.
You know? So
I think, bro, you rap pretty much summarized it by saying The Godfather. Like,
no, he is. You know, his music, so, you know, yeah, we definitely want to mention, you know, that, you know, Fela Kuti in terms of, you know.
What did you say your favorite song was by him?
Wata No Get Enemy. You know, actually, Anthony Joshua came in with that song.
Shout out to AJ. He's back.
All right. You know, hey, look.
All you bums talking about.
I'm still Team Bomb Squad.
Nah, not hearing it, bro.
I'm still
not
Team Bomb Squad. Till this day.
Let me tell you something. AJ is back. He got a little carried away in the seventh. My man, and eighth.
Hey! I heard he kind of was dodging a little bit. He was kind of moving around the room, bro.
Floyd Mayweather, GOAT status.
It's okay.
Defend.
It's okay.
Throw the jab. Dance around the big boy.
I was happy he won. And he came in rapping, bro. He was playing Fela. Wata No Get Enemy. Yeah, he meant it though.
He went back to the motherland after that loss, and he came back. You know, shout out to the boys.
It's our central team, guys. I'm telling you guys, I believe this. If you always stay authentic or go back to your core or your roots, telling you, you find you purpose and through. Good things come.
You shine know? Through.
So, but shout out to him. Shout out to the boy. The song he played, yeah, that's my favorite. I mean, Wata No Get Enemy is like, I think it's like one of Fela's most popular. Like his favorite popular songs. So, yeah. I'm sure people will be like, most people will probably say that. But yeah, I really like that song. And Beast of No Nation, of course.
Okay.
Beast of No Nation. So
I like Teacher, Don't Teach Me Nonsense.
Oh.
That's a... He has so many, like...
Fela kind of got lines. Jokes, too. He got punchlines, you know?
Did you hear when he broke down democracy? He said, democracy, crazy demonstration.
He's ahead of his time. Your Fela was ahead of his time, you know?
He had punchlines.
Like, what did he say? I was telling it to her. Like, when he said, like, basket mouth, something. He said something about
basket a basket mouth. I know what you're saying.
You know?
Yeah.
Basket mouth, don't open mouth again or something like that, you know?
Yeah,
this guy, you know, like, that would be still catchy. So, it's very relevant. Punchline. That's probably where that comedian got his, I don't know, basket mouth. Maybe it's a Nigerian thing.
I think it must be.
You know? But, you know, he had punchlines, you know? So
cultural influence.
His music was ahead of his time.
Ahead of his time, and now it's being celebrated more than ever. Well, not more than ever, but it's being celebrated a lot right now. And you actually have brought up a point about how it's today's culture to celebrate something when it's gone.
When it's gone, yeah. It's very on right now. When someone either dies, like a recent artist that, you know,
Nipsey.
He only had like core fans, you know, people were messing with him, but you know, small minority, and they die, and it's just skyrockets exponentially, you know, in terms of people hopping on it, you know, and people is doing the same thing now, like, you know, like Fela, you know, Burna Boy is coming with this Fela, but I talk about it, everybody's like, oh, bro, you know, hump on it, and now, you know, so.
But I think with Burna is different,
which is not a bad thing.
He's always been about Fela, and like, he's always spoke about that. Because, you know, his grandpa was his...
Yeah, well, his dad. Manager. Was it his dad or his grandma?
His grandpa.
Oh, yeah, his dad.
Was Fela's manager.
He's
always been, like, saying, you know, this is my inspiration. You know, this is, like, the father of this movement.
Huh.
I was telling you earlier, I read this tweet that a friend of mine posted. She didn't post a tweet, but she, like, reposted it. And it said, today's culture, we love revolutionary aesthetic until it die. Boy, first off, that's a heavy tweet.
That's true. I agree with it.
And it's true because, to an extent, one, no one wants to die, But two, back then, if you're a revolutionary like Fela, bro, you're willing to die for
this. Willing to die. He lost his mom. His mom got killed as a result of it. He was arrested. Exactly. He was in prison out of it. And you were about that life if you were going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyone who said they're about something back then, all right, they were about that through and through. Today's culture, I feel like, because you can hide behind certain types of screens or protections, and to be honest, most of us don't really even have like that sort of, you know, to die for movements to live for, because we already have so much.
Yeah.
I feel like that's very true.
Definitely, for sure. And, you know,
so I don't remember who tweeted that, but
it's times though. It's with respect to times, you know, these eras, you know, like let's say Fela's era, you had, you know, military rule in Nigeria, you know, oppressing. So, you know, these were real things that were going on. So, you know, these people were pioneers and they got up. So,
we didn't skip over Fela. Like, obviously, we maybe even could have presumed that everybody already knew what the deal was with him, you know, but his cultural significance is no small thing.
You know? Is there anyone else that we are, any major person?
I think Franco Luambo Makiadi from Congo.
Oh yeah.
TPOK Jazz, like that's our parents right there. That's what our parents grew up listening to. It's especially in East Africa.
East Africa, you know? Okay.
Ask any parent of like ours who Luambo Makiadi or Franco is, they know exactly who that is. And he actually is like the godfather of Rumba.
Rumba?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So all these, like, you know, Awilo Longomba.
Yeah, we touched on Awilo before we gave him.
We did, but their godfather?
Yeah. Oh, is
Franco.
Okay.
So big ups to him. For the jazz movement, I wanted to big up Hugh Masekela, I think we already mentioned
yep,
that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, man. I mean, what more needs to be said about him? Like, he broke borders. Big deal.
We have pioneers, like, our music, you know, like, even, you know what music's good too? Like, you know, like, the music across the Sahara Desert too, like, it's so good. Mali, you know, Chad,
general region,
Sudanish area, Mauritania, you know, like, it's nice.
It's a different sound.
Yeah, different sound. Like, African music, like, there's sounds everywhere that's changing, you know, rhythms, melodies, you know, so it's crazy. So yeah, guys, we could go on forever about African music, but we just wanted to do it with respect to
if your playlist just says Davido Wizkid Burna,
if I tell you, say
it's time for a serious upgrade.
Yeah, man. Like, come on, fam. You know, look, like I say, we're trying. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't, you know, like, bro, like, let's say Nairam, like, for example, can we tell Nairam if he can? I mean, he always hooks up, like, posts, like, good songs. Obviously, his stories, but, like, a music of, like, a playlist of, like, diverse, authentic music. You know, for some people are like, well, I don't know what to listen to, or I don't know how can I find these hidden talents or stuff. So, you know, are we gonna help them out with that?
Hey, we could. We definitely could post like recommendations. You know, for
we might. Music. I feel like we should create like a playlist, the Jola Miss Maddie playlist.
Ooh.
You know? Yeah, because okay. You know, and then we'll take it back. We'll go all the way. Start maybe even the 60s.
Yeah,
well, we can put it back as long as that. We can get it on Apple Music or Spotify.
Yeah,
you know, we break it down.
Spotify plays easy.
We could go through African greats. You know, start out with like, you know, per decade. You know, we put five from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and you know, we're hoping that like, you know, even through us, we can kind of see that translation in sound.
Yeah,
and how it's changing and that quality. You know, so. Side project. We'll keep that.
Side project. You know? And lastly, somebody said I didn't big up enough DJs. If I go through the entire list of DJs that we have, would this not take the whole episode?
This is my pillow.
No, but hey, they know who they are. All the DJs that have pushed the sound, you know. I think for me, like, who was it from Red Lounge? Was it? Mm-hmm.
Huh? DJ
Mo?
Is it DJ
Mo? DJ Mo's been around for a long time. I forget, but X10 was playing African music. ZJ Veteran from Red Labs, they were playing a lot of African music back then. And then like the new wave, I think, is like Blast.
Yeah.
Who's DJ Mo? He's the Ivorian one. Is that him?
Yeah, I think so. I believe so. Okay. I like DJ Mo.
Yeah, and then
who played Countless?
There's a lot of African DJs who have pushed the sound.
Someone played really well that day. Was it
Afro-Lituation?
Yeah, the Afro-Lituation. Who was that? Like, remember he played, like, killed it.
But that was probably Nairn, bro.
If it's usually really good, it's probably Nairn. You know, but for sure.
But yeah, hey, bro. And now there's now a new wave, like, Aji,
Inyama,
and
Agoki, yeah, a superstar goalkeeper, DJ at night,
yeah,
Victor Inyama during the day, Sunday league, summer Sunday league, in it, and Martins too, you know. What's his DJ name?
DJ Weekend.
DJ
right?
Weekend. Yeah, DJ Weekend. So.
But I'm telling you, but there's so many Afrobeats DJs now, and East African DJs for me, like. Fully focused. You might not know who that is, but he's out of Atlanta.
There's on YouTube, guys. DJ Perez, I think he's from Kenya or something. Me and Dolph always be listening to him. That's like my standard YouTube playlist. Like, look up DJ Perez. Bro, he's always hitting you up.
There's a lot
on
of
YouTube.
Kenyan DJs. Simple Simon
playing like Afrobeats.
DJ Shinsky, DJ Slim, my boy, out of San Francisco.
Hope you guys are writing notes.
Guys. And these are quality guys. Like,
Yeah. We're not just giving shout-outs like this anyhow, you know. So,
thank you all for pushing this out.
And, of course, DJ Anzo over here. You know, guys, did you know we have a DJ here recording, and it's not me. DJ Anzo.
Wait, no.
So, DJ Anzo is coming up.
Hey, 2020 is going to be a big year. That's
coming to
it.
What did they say? Coming to a party? You know how the DJ said, DJ Anzo 2020, coming to 2020 near you.
Yo,
you going to do the mix? DJ Anzo coming to
come on, son.
You gonna have it. You know how it is.
Yeah,
you
know how it is. It's coming. Big up to every.
Hey, shout out to Anzo, man. DJs. You know, they know.
Thank God,
they know.
Man, that's like a little recap.
All right, so what's our topic today, fam?
We started with the topic, Mr. Semester Man.
Semester, Johnny. Johnny just called.
We call them Basama in Uganda.
Basama. In Gambia, guys, we call them semesters. And what are semesters or Basamas?
Semesters or Basamas are people who come for vacation home, in a sense.
Yes.
Semesters, I think, derives from semester in college. You know, you're in school, and then you come home for breaks.
Yep.
And then you go back. Mm-hmm. Basamas really loosely translates to all of summers. They only come during the summer.
You know, and how we mentioned and you were talking the skit was to show like some of these people go above and beyond to kind of let you know they're only here for the break. Yeah. So, you know, like have the, you know, water, you know, the towel on their head, talking about how hot it is, like they didn't grow up there, you know, and you know, so going above and beyond wearing like a Gucci bag. So going above and beyond when they go back home Christmas time to try and, you know, let people know or come off as like, oh yeah, I just came here from like, you know, the West, you know, which, you know, we can break that off into.
Let me tell you, I had a cousin. He came out here for 9 months. I'm not going to say his name. My boy came back full American accent.
No,
bro.
I said, was
this not you from?
Nah, fam, sorry. He got the package. He came in and got the semester package. Deluxe semester package.
I was shook.
It's a great time. So, you know, like we kind of mentioned, you know, me and Ivan, you know, we'll be, you know, Africa prepared because we're coming home, you know. So, you know, we're both coming home. So, we'll be semesters.
Basamas.
Basamas.
But please.
You ain't going to see a towel over my head now.
When I'm home, I'm but one of you.
Yes.
Okay.
When we're home, yeah.
Don't hit me with it's just, nope. I'm a regular dude that just came.
Of course, you know, and that's what we want to do. You know, we're just the same. Like, I'm the same guy that left, you know, when I was going, and you last saw me when we growing up and now. So do not come and think that, you know, I'm better than you now all of a sudden, yeah. or, you know, I'm the same guy. So, yeah.
And if anything, I feel like that mentality is dead, is dying out too now.
I hope so.
I find that a lot of like people, especially like our generation, you know, group, they're trying to find that a lot of things are obsolete.
You know, and it's like, I feel like especially people who go by Christmas time, you know, like and go and create this false facade of like they're super, you know, this time, you know.
Yeah.
It's don't do that. You know why? You know, at first I used to be jokers or, you know, this guy, but there's an actual serious meaning to this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you guys don't know, it's a huge problem with trying to, you know, a lot of youths trying to go through this backway passage of trying to go to Europe. Like just like last week over like God knows how many, you know, actually it was a Gambia ship that was trying to go to Mauritania because they're trying to go to Europe back way illegally to become undocumented immigrants. And like over, I think 100 people died or something. Like, you know, thousands of people have died trying to cross this Mediterranean and go to Europe. And if you actually break that down to why their motivation is, of course, they feel like once they go to Europe, there's a better living automatically, which is not the case. But also, if you put into that equation of what causes, it's a lot of these guys coming from Europe and America, you know?
And portraying false image.
You're hustling. Yeah. You might be hustling in America, you know, like busting your ass, or Europe, you know, you're barely making it, but you probably went home and you've created this big, you know, grand picture of like, you're this big thing. Like, you just go, all of a sudden, everything's perfect. You know?
And the biggest thing is really just the exchange rate parity.
That's what I'm saying.
Because your dollar or your euro now, it's so much more.
But you don't tell them the reality. When they tell you how you doing, they're like, man, you know me, I'm living good.
I'm living
But you're hustling. So, but you know, you should, if you told them, hey, man, like, you know, it's not easy over there. It's not what you think it is. Yeah. Maybe that person will think, is it worth me almost risking my life to try and go, you know, cross the Sahara, go through this? You know, you had Libya, all the horrible things they're doing, or, you know, probably lose my life at sea or something, trying to get to this Babylon that does not exist, you know? So, you know, that's why, you know, when I see people go home like wild and trying to show, let everybody know, you know, they used to go home, some guy's trying to speak Swedish or German, this Gambian guy's like, Pratakiska, I'm like, you know, so, you know, before, at first I would laugh, like, look at this clown, but now I'm just like, stop doing this, you know, like,
because
you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, youths are dying, like, people our age groups are dying because of this false hope when they see Christmas time, this group of people come, creating a facade that it's all good there. Once you get there, it's all good. So there's a serious note to it, guys. And this is what we see like every like Christmas holidays that we go to, you know, especially Christmas time.
I think the best thing about going home though for me is it's time to like to reset.
It's the ultimate reset, isn't it?
You get home, you're on the ground, it's people you love around you. But I don't know about Gambia, but Uganda, one of the first things I do is I go to the street vendor, you know?
Yeah, the corner stuff, the local shops?
No. I'm talking about the dudes on the side of the road making food. Yeah.
You buy that food?
Come on, this guy.
I don't know about that
part. Come on, boy. That chicken is next level.
So we had the chicken on the street fresh off the plate?
Bro.
Hi, this guy.
I got a man. His name is Haji. He's in Middle East in Bugalobi. If you guys know where that is, I don't know if he's still there. But this guy's been there from time, bro. His chicken, after the club at like 2 in the morning. Like 3, 4 in the morning.
Stuff like that. It's called Afra.
Yeah.
Hey. Slaps.
Takes you to heaven, bro. Oof. You go to sleep, wake up, no hangover.
So, before we get there, bro, let's talk about, like, bro, the journey.
The journey home?
To get home, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to share this little experience to go to Gambia, right? There's two things I want at least people to understand, or, you know, if they have anything. So from my opinion of, like, first of all, I feel like being in America, to go to Gambia in relatively the most comfortable way, like, I have to go through Brussels, right?
Okay.
So this is what I noticed over my years, like last three trips of going through Brussels. So it's like, whatever, right now I'm in Seattle, you know, you find a way, you get to Brussels. And Brussels Airlines, formerly known as Sabena, you fly from Brussels, then you go to Dakar in Senegal. So that's your most direct route, technically. There's Royal Air Maroc, which is cheaper, but, you know, they're horrible airline reputation. Royal Air Maroc.
Okay.
through Morocco, Casablanca. Like, I heard it's like a 12-hour layover. They treat people like shit. Yeah. Like, you know, horrible. That's what I've heard. Like, so I'll never fly that. Personally, I've never seen good things.
Yeah.
My cousin, one time, his whole hand luggage or whatever, they lost it. But, so here's the thing about Brussels Airlines, Ivan. So let's say you're flying from New York, right, to Brussels. Standard, nice, new plane, A330, looks good, flight attendants, everyone's nice, smooth flight. You get to Brussels. You get to Brussels at, so the flights to Brussels, you're probably landing at like early morning, 7 a.m. Let's say you land at 7 a.m., 6 a.m. So once you get off, you're in the main terminal, you know, the regular terminal in Brussels, you know. So you land at 6 a.m., first of all, and you, when you arrive, you look at your boarding pass and it says, I think, Terminal T. So I'm like, the hell, like Terminal T? So I got to go to a whole nother terminal for this flight to Banjul. You get there. So first of all, you go, okay, how do I get to Terminal T? A bus has to take you to Terminal T. Okay, how do I get on this bus? Oh, actually, this bus starts operating at 8 a.m. To Terminal T. So you're sitting in, like, you're just sitting there now waiting for Terminal T bus. So, you know, I remember my first, like, experience, like, as a grown adult seeing this. I'm like, what the hell? Like, fuck, to catch my flight to Gambia and I have to wait like, an whole hour for the bus to start to take me to that terminal?
Yeah.
Okay. So, impatiently wait for an hour, right? Bus comes, you know, Terminal T loads. Turn around, you know, all your African people, you know? Yeah, all of us, you know, all African people, hearing languages, everything. You know, you can tell mainly West African, you know, Sierra Leone, Guinea, Liberia, Ghana. Gambians, you know, bus takes us. You get to Terminal T. I don't know how it is now, cause, you know, well, it's been a couple of years, but at least I had the last time at Terminal T. Most dusty old terminal, you know, like the chairs are rusty, you know, there's stuff hanging from the ceiling. Most shitty terminal I've ever seen in Europe, you know. And guess what? Every freaking departure, Kigali, Banjul, you know, like Conakry, Freetown. The terminal is strictly for African departures. And so, it's, I'm like, this is class A segregation. And this is modern day in Belgium, Brussels. So, this bus takes you to this raggedy-ass terminal. And it's like all African people in there, right? So, it's like all your fellow Africans. That's nice, we know. But still, it's like, they put us in this shitty-ass terminal. People are sleeping, you know, all these African departures. So, you get there, right? You wait, like, so, you know, like, I get there probably, like, at, like, 8-ish, like, 9, because the bus didn't start till freaking 8. So, you get there, I'm pretty frustrated, and I'm standing there looking around, like, this is some BS. Like, we have no respect, you know? Like, they put us, they segregated all of us and put us into one African departure, you know? Freaking Brussels Airlines. So, which is sad, I'm still taking Brussels Airlines, which is a whole another problem, you know? So, we fly, we board our flight to Gambia, you know, like, or to Banjul, you know, then it's all, you know, all of us, you guys, you know, you know, like, you know, guys like me who know, like, you know, people who know, like, you know, I'm like, I'm not trying to pat myself, but, you know, I know about airplanes more than the average person.
Right. I mean, a lot more,
So, this is, you know, Airbus, Brussels Airlines, they mainly fly Airbus A330s. You know, which is like, you know, medium to long range aircraft, 200-seater-ish, you know. So, the flight, I used the A380 from New York to Brussels. Then an A380 from, like, now Brussels to Banjul. I've gone from, like, class A A380, like, you know, probably really new, good A380, to, like, basically probably the oldest and shittiest one they have to go to Africa. You know, like, you know, spoilers are, like, the flight, like, the mechanisms are, like, noisy. You can see, like, you can just tell, like, this aircraft is towards the end of its life cycle. It's about to retire. Like, the most shitty airplane they have probably in their fleet, they're using these planes for Africa. You know? You get in, the moment you're bored, it's straight off, like, flight attendants, like, impatient, you know, yelling, sit down, do this, do that, you know, it's, like, so rude, treating people like, I'm like, bro, calm down, like, you know, like, from the moment, okay, I know our people don't help too, you know, we've been doing the most too,
but
it's just so rude from the moment you enter, you can see that they're, like, stressed, I'm like, you know, like, you know, I'm like, dang, rude, telling people, fasten your seatbelt, you know, like, aggressively, like, this was not how the flight was from New York. You know, all of a sudden, and you're noticing it, you know, it's hard to ignore it. I'm like, the freak? Like, these people are rude. Like, they're treating us like we're shit. Like, we're paying discount tickets out here. Like, we're fucking boarding passes that we're using. So, you know, it's a shitty flight, you know, all the way through. So, you know, it's like, you know, and that's what's like, I remember as an adult, first time taking this experience, uh-huh. I'm like, dang, they've like, this is crazy. Like, we have no respect going to Africa, mm-hmm. you know? And at first, you know, I got home, I complained about, oh, Brussels Airlines, like these airlines, they don't respect us, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. But I look at the bigger picture, I'm like, how else would I go directly to Gambia?
So they have a monopoly.
Brussels Airlines, guys, if you don't know, like, you know, it's funny, and I've been looking at it. Brussels Airlines used to be called Sabina. Mm-hmm. I remember since I was young, my mom has taken it. Mm-hmm. They used to even land into Freetown when they had it during Civil War. Brussels Airlines, if you guys don't know, over West Africa, probably like a lot of Central Africa too, mm-hmm. they are, I could say there is no other airline that goes to as many African locations as Brussels Airlines. From, like, and that's a connect, like, as a hub from the diaspora from US and America. Mm. They pretty much have a monopoly. They can pretty much do what they want. Mm. Like, they can change their price, but look at me. I still have to take them. Am I going to go to Morocco for a 12-hour layover?
Yeah, no.
You know?
No, no.
So, it's like, I'm just trying to explain here this long story of, like, you know, this is what we have
first,
to go
the journey.
Through. It's a very stressful journey. Mm. You know, it can be demoralizing in some aspects where I'm like, man, where's Ghana Airways? Where's Senegal? Where's, you know, I know Gambia is a small country, it's hard to ask, but, you know, where are airlines? Mm. You know, why do we, if we had our own airlines like this, would we have to go through this? You know, discriminating us, putting us in this whole terminal, like as if we're all have, like, gonna have Ebola or something, you know? No, I'm serious. So it's like, yeah. It was very, but this is our journey that we go through. And I can tell you, like, a lot of my friends or people that I've experienced, you know, it would be good to hear your side, too. Like, when we're going to Gambia or Senegal or, like, to West Africa, you know, it's a so much, much more of a different flight from the North American flight from America to where it's connecting us to Europe or Middle East. But the flight to Africa, it's like, dang. It's like, yeah.
You know, for me, when the one place I think I had the biggest issue was Dubai, actually.
Wow.
Because, I don't know, man. I just feel like I'm treated like a second-class citizen anytime I enter the airport.
Yeah.
And so in my passport picture, I'm young. So if you're a normal person, you can tell it's me, you know. But it's almost like they're taking, you know, quadruple looks to verify that it's me.
Pretty much.
One time, my brother and I, we were traveling home, and we're at the airport in Dubai, walking, because, you know, with Emirates, they do a lot of long layovers, like 14, 15 hours. So they'll give you a hotel room to go check in, eat, whatever, maybe go out to the city for a little bit.
Yeah.
So we were on the way to the hotel, actually on the way to the shuttle, really, to the hotel, and this Emirati, like, police officer just stops us, right? I don't know if it was a police officer or TSA, whatever. Mind you, we've cleared customs. We've cleared, not customs, I mean passport control. We've cleared security, all that. We're literally in the city of Dubai now. Well, okay, we're still at the airport, but we're past that, right? We're cleared.
Yeah.
And he stops us and asks us for our passports, right? We give him our passports, and he makes us stand he's like, all right, stand over here. Wow. When I tell you, this man didn't even look in the passports. He didn't do anything. He just took our passports, held them in his hand, and kind of just looked around with, like, his head up, as if to show us that he's in control. You know what I mean? Man. And so my brother and I are standing there, and then he just magically hands them back, and he's like, okay, you know? First, I was filled with so much rage because
it's disrespectful. You feel
disrespectful as hell. And what's your purpose here? You know, but of course you're in a foreign country, so you don't want to, you know, act out of pocket. But God forbid, you know, that was a white person. That story would have made, like, you know, some sort of news.
No,
do you get what I mean?
For sure.
I definitely feel like 100%.
When we travel back home, we are treated by, especially the non, I could, you know, like these other airline carriers as second class citizens. Yeah.
And it's the worst feeling, I think, when you don't know how to get over it. You know.
So that's the thing for me, you know.
Because I feel like, okay, me and you, you know me, who's gonna be my ass at the end of the day? You know what I mean?
You understand it. It's like, so, and you know, like, I understand, like, and it's like a little thing too, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was saying the whole point, like, we don't help ourselves too, because I've seen how people do the most. Like, I've seen
for sure.
But I have to tell you, I swear to God, this happened in a flight. This happened in a flight.
What happened?
We were landing in Dakar. This is SF Brussels, right? This happened in a flight. You know, you can tell this guy, you know, he's very, you know, all right, look, you can tell he's a local guy, you know, man from the village and that, you know. You can tell, you know, and he was asking me, he couldn't open the store bins, you know, and, you know, I kind of laugh at it, but I'm like, you know, I understand it, you know, so, you know, I helped him open the store bin, put his luggage, you know, and, you know, he's very funny, like, look, I'm like, oh, man, yo, yeah, you know, I didn't know how to do it, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's all right. So, you know, a couple of times you can tell flight attendants, like, sir, put your seatbelt on. Oh, he didn't know how to put the seatbelt. You know, I'm like, you kind of see this, like, over the years of traveling back home, you notice it. Not everyone's used to it. But this guy, man, so, I swear to God, so... This, we're on approach, final approach, you know, like, this is in Dakar or something, you know. So, first of all, but I wish I caught this on video. First of all, so, we're on final approach, you know, probably like
to the runway,
less than a mile away from there, but we're like less than 1,000 feet. We're basically about to land in like 30 seconds, you know. So, my man's right here, he's sitting in like the, I was in around like the two-seater next to the window, and he was in the middle seat. So my man, he first of all, when final approach, he tries to unbuckle his seatbelt to get up. So this flight attendant lady, you know, they be looking at the counter. She's like, sir, sit down. Mm-hmm. She had this German accent or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sit down, you know. So this guy didn't understand. So people are like, hey, sit down. I thought maybe the dude was panicking. So I speak to one of them, like, hey, you know, like, you got to sit down, sir. He's like, oh, no, I got to pee. I'm like, so I'm telling him, like, you gotta sit down. So this is what this guy does. This is the really crazy part, right? So right when the wheels touched the ground, my guy got up and opened the store bin, tried to take his baggage out. Like, I'm telling you. And he was kind of wiggling. I have never seen this in my life. Yo, the flight, like, three flight attendants just started screaming, sit down, sir, close the window, bro. It was like a whole scene. That was
knee fall over?
Huh?
Knee fall over?
He tripped. He hanged on to some seat. I wish I caught this on video. Bro.
And you didn't even ask him why he stood up?
Yo, it was like almost chaos, bro. I don't even remember us slowing down. You know, I didn't even hear, like, you can hear the reverse thrust going on. Like, we're breaking. This guy got up trying to take the stove in. And now it's hard for him to sit down. It was like that Key and Peele episode. That's what it was giving me flashbacks when we were watching it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'm like, so everyone's like, sit down. Three flight attendants. So the airplane, once it slowed down, he managed to get on his seat. Once he sat down, you know, all of a sudden they came, like, flight attendants came. But, you know, at first I'm like, okay, this guy messed up. He's doing too much. But they were so rude to him. Okay, I mean, he probably wanted it. But they came like, what the hell's wrong with you? Like, are you stupid or something? I'm like, hey, you know. So it quickly flashback to me too, you know. I'm like, okay, this guy did something that's totally ridiculous. But, you know, the way they approached him.
Approached him and treated,
like,
him.
As if, like, this guy's, like, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, what are you doing? Well, okay, fine, he violated safety. But it shows extra contrast to, like,
very.
I know it's, like, stressful for them, you know, because they're probably used to passengers, you know, but they have to understand, not all of these passengers are used to flying or stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but you don't have to belittle them or treat them like they're illiterate or something.
I think this is
what we've experienced. It was a... It's alarming. So it quickly changed the mood.
I think, but there's no secret to it. Like, wherever you are, your skin will always shine through. You understand? And, like...
But that's, like, the common denominator we got.
It's a common denominator, and it's something that no matter... You don't care who you are, you will experience it if you haven't already. I mean, actually, I don't want anyone to have to go through it, but I think it's a very real
reality.
No,
we're just saying, you know, like I said, I just wanted to at least just... You mention these, or just to show that, like, our journey, and it brings the topic. You know, it's like, you know, where was it? We went to this forum. It was like Africa's a Boy forum. They had like different leaders, Boeing or, you know, different airlines. And for people who don't know, the problem why it's really hard for African airlines to it sucks. First of all, operating an airline is very, like,
expensive.
It's very expensive. Like, it's very hard to make profit off of it.
Yeah.
But the reasons why our African airlines, and I'm going to just say West Africa, we don't thrive is well, most African airlines, in the bottom line, there was like interns, they did a whole presentation. It all comes down to operating costs. Mm. Like, Africans, like, these countries, like, you know, especially if they're owned by national governments usually,
yeah,
they don't know how to cut down operating costs.
If it's government subsidized, I feel like there's a lot of, one, operational issues.
And misuse of resources.
Exactly.
So, you know, misuse. If you guys didn't know, Ghana Airways, like, I remember growing up, Ghana Airways was one of, it was going, like, you know, we used a couple of times to go to New York. It was one of the popular, you know, around the region, airlines. But Ghana Airways, Air Afrique, out of Abidjan, they all went, you know, these were reputable.
I mean, Uganda,
they can't go past 5 years. Or yeah. 10. If they go 10 years, an African airline goes over 10 years, that's a really successful airline.
Uganda Airlines was popular in the 70s.
Yeah.
They flopped. They're making a, they just made a comeback. They tried, now, yeah. But, hey, that was.
Besides Kenya Airways, besides Ethiopian Airlines, mm-hmm. are we going to put South Africa there?
Yes,
they've actually gone to a strike right now and stuff. There's some issues going on with South Africa Airways. Let's say three. I don't know.
I'd put Rwanda Air there too, because of their dominance in the local region? Markets.
Okay, let's put Rwanda Air in the region.
Like, actually, I think they actually just started a flight to New York too.
But I think that's why one flight probably a week or two. Yeah, times a week.
It's not big, but it's.
Let's not even say locally. I'm just saying, well-known international can take people to Europe and America and across. Three.
Yeah.
Kenya Airways, Ethiopian Airlines, South Africa.
Yeah.
Three. These are the three out of 54 countries in the region.
Yeah.
And these are not the three biggest airlines. They're not even in the top 10 of biggest airlines in the world.
Yeah.
So, we, you know, these are the only ones that have survived.
Yeah.
We've had, you know, growing up early 2000s, Air Afrique. My mom loved Air Afrique. Right across the region, went to New York. You know, Ghana Airways, like I mentioned. I think Nigeria had something, but you know how it is.
London.
But, you know, all of these airlines, guys, we've never had these airlines that could go over 10 years. Because they went high operating costs. They couldn't keep their costs down to operate. They were running at a loss. Every flight was at a loss. You know, Ghana Airways, one of the stories to why they went bankrupt. Do you know?
No.
They had government officials flying business class for free, taking the business class seats with their families. How you gonna make money?
Actually, business and first are the two that
that's make where
the
airlines most money. Make money off.
So you make,
they make
the
money,
most
off
money
business and first class.
So I think even just from like a monetary, like, bare spending power, that's what could be an issue.
Well, like I said, it's the management. You know, you have
management,
have
infrastructure, is big, yeah.
You have to have management, and you know, like I said, you have to have very strict, you know, law and, like, you know, I won't put ethics. I won't call it ethics, but they, you know, you have to have. It has to be very, very, very structured to not allow those failures, because. Yeah, it's sad. So this is, like, yes. I said, all what we're talking about, me and my long story about the Brussels Airlines and what we go through, it's all, you know, if you all broke that down and say what's the cause of it, it's because we don't have our own African, you know? So to be honest, I can't be here talking shit about Brussels Airlines, how, oh, they got a monopoly, they're doing this, they don't treat us like shit, you know?
But in reality,
that's the other side, right? Yeah. It's like, well, how the fuck you gonna go back?
Yeah.
You can go to Morocco where... Mm. There, if you don't have an American passport, Evan, if, let's say me and you go to Morocco, right? Let's say you have the American passport and you have the American passport, I go with a Gambian passport, right? We go to Casablanca.
Yeah.
And it's a 12-hour layover for us to go to Gambia.
Yeah.
You with the American passport, they will take you to some hotel and put you in there to relax. And me with the Gambian passport, the African, I can stay at the airport and just wait 12 hours there.
That's another...
This is in real life. We're not making this up. This actually goes on. So, but, you know, like I said, it's actually shocking because Morocco is in Africa. If I ever wanted to publicly give an airline a bad review, guys, do not fly Royal Air Morocco. There's safety record. I don't know about it, but it's probably shady too.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but low-key, I got a big up Rwanda Air, bro, because when I flew it, it was a local flight. Only an hour or so, but... Well, they treat you like one of your
But that's what we want. You know, they embody that. Like, I wish we had more of that. Like,
yeah, and it's not the growth that they're experiencing right now. I think that's a testament to, like, the type of service and the mission overall that they have.
Okay,
I can't, and I might be wrong. You know, that's just speaking on my experiences. But basically,
no, I mean, generally, though, you know, because we're not saying, oh, if it's an airline, they'll automatically treat us better. You know, they'll probably...
For sure. There's growing planes that come with it.
Yeah, but we wouldn't probably go through, you know, the outright sometimes disrespect. Air France, horrible. I took Air France 1-2 to Senegal. Horrible, disrespectful as shit. Yeah. You know? It's like, what? Like, you guys, like, I'm paying the same price. I pay probably more. It's more expensive for me on this leg of the flight than me going to Europe. And you're disrespecting me more, you know?
Yeah.
This is what we go through. But anyway, and the moral of the story is, the moment you land and walk out and that breeze hits you, like, that breeze just hits you.
Yeah.
And then, like, you see, like, your family stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all that stress, all that, you know.
Everything goes away.
It's gone.
It's gone. Actually, I'd argue that for me, the worst of the flights is the flight back.
Oh, yeah.
Because, one, it's long as hell. And then, two, you're leaving your people.
You
know? Yeah. You're getting back into the grind. But I'd do it, I wouldn't say 10 times over, but I'd do it. Until we get our own.
No, we have to do it. We don't have a choice. You know, like I said, and, you know,
it's a long journey. I don't know about Gambia, but for us, it's, well, it depends on which way you go.
It's so long because of the layovers. You know,
but they're also long flights.
They're long flights
because, like, here to Dubai is 14. We're in the West Coast. We're in the Pacific
Northwest, bro. Yeah. We're at the other side of the world and trying to get to Africa. It's an extra 5 hours, 4 hours for you.
And then
East Africa,
exactly,
from West Africa.
So they're long flights.
This is what we have to go through, guys. So this hence, as you know, we don't go every year because you know it's you know. I wish I could go annually, but I just think, like, it's such a journey for me.
But in anyway, we're in like accumulation stages. So.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It's
expensive. It's expensive. It's expensive though.
I'm excited. Like I said, once you get home, hopefully get over the jet lag. You know, you had the goodies, you brought the gifts, you know, and stuff, you know.
Really? Do you know, one time in 2015, we went home. My sister and I went out with my cousins. I fell asleep at the bar, bro. The first night we landed.
Yeesh.
So, okay, we landed like at 1 or 2. We went to my aunt's house, you know, general happiness. What's going on?
We back at it.
My cousin's like, yo, we out.
We move.
10 p.m. We're at the bar in Bugalobi.
Please slow down, though. Don't kill. Slow down the start.
Right. I can't tell you what happened, but. Do you ever get these Z's when, you know, when you were in class or at work where you literally can't control yourself from falling asleep?
Yeah, like probably 2 days ago at work.
No, but your head is like moving back and forth. Your eyes are closing. I told my cousin, yo, just watch this area. I'm going to take
the jet lag hit you because you came in. You know,
bro, it slapped me full force.
You came in, this guy, guys, I've been semesters. You see this guy, he's a proper semester. This is a rookie semester mistake out here. He came in, instead of taking his time to rest and get acclimated to like the new changing time zone. We're in Pacific time zone. This guy goes to GMT +3 or something. And now he thinks that he's Iron Man out here. Can go out. So your body told you, what is you doing, fam?
Boy, let me tell you, I fell asleep in at least 20 minutes. At least 20 minutes. Somehow I just woke up and the rest of the night was mediocre as far as like my energy. But
yeah, you gotta pace yourself.
Especially so, like getting older now. Okay, we're not old, but...
Yeah, you know what it is. I know what you mean.
You gotta respect the body more.
You got to. So
that journey is brutal.
What are the top 3 things you want to do this trip? You gotta.
I'm trying. For me, I think it's just getting outside of the city. You know, going to the village, maybe. You know, kicking it there, experience village life for like, you know, 1-2 nights. You know, connect with some of those like really distant relatives and maybe speak with them.
Yeah.
The problem might be like a language barrier there, but
you get it.
You know, it is what it is. Food, man. I'm trying to eat as much as I can. I'm trying to eat as much as I can because when I get back, 2020 is different, bro.
We eat food and we eat fresh food every day. That's why let's not take what I get there. I'm like, dang, I've eating fresh food here every day, you know?
It's like you see the chicken being skinned.
Fresh food, so.
And then lastly, man, I think just want to relax.
You know? It's, bro, like, you know, like you said, once you get there, that's when you realize how America's like. Like the America, like that's when I get there. I'm like, we really like a nonstop movie clock in America.
Oh yeah,
like we're like work. You know, it's like it's quick. Like you know, it's so fast paced. Like when I get there, it's like damn. Like our life there is like, you know, like no wonder we're so stressed a lot of the times.
Yeah,
it's so fast moving. It's always gotta work, gotta pay bills, gotta do this, gotta do, you know, it's quick. Oh yeah, so
very quick
when you go back and you're like man, like it's just like that unwind. So
you know, actually the biggest thing too for me that I'm happy I'm gonna be able to do is just disconnect from my phone.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah,
you disconnect from those,
you know. It's just yeah, it's the ultimate
emails,
you know,
social media.
I don't have to deal with
whatever it is. I'm just excited to disconnect.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely agree.
If you want me, you can find me on WhatsApp.
WhatsApp. Yeah.
You know, I'm only taking texts and calls. That's it.
Via WhatsApp.
via WhatsApp.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be disconnected. Yeah. What about you?
I mean, first thing you said, food and family and food.
Mm.
That's always number one. Like, you know, especially like, you know, like it changes every time you go. Like, you know, I reflect a lot because you appreciate more of your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of these family members, like your aunts, you know, and stuff. And you know, now you've seen how times have changed, you know. So you cherish it more and you're like, let me try and make the most of seeing them, spending time with them, visiting them because... You know, they raised you, you know, you grow up, you know, so family number one and food, you know, and also like number two, I would say for me would be like, you know, like you said, explore.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing you say.
Man, we don't explore our countries enough.
Like, yeah, I was telling this to my older sister, like, yo, like usually when I'm there, like I'm at home, go out, you know, hang out and stuff. But like, I don't do like stuff they would deem like maybe tourists. Like see your country, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to explore more. Like you know, just you know, be out there. You know, like I said, stay disconnected. Go to like spend time on the beaches and stuff. You know, like really explore. Really appreciate like this is where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you especially you're happy with that
coastline. You guys have a nice, you know, nice coastline.
Like you know, I realize I'm like man. Like I remember last time like when I went like. Okay, it's for 2 weeks, but it's not till like my last 2 days that me and my mom were like, let's go to the beach and walk. And I went there and saw the Atlantic Ocean. I was just like, freak, like I've been here, like I've not been taking advantage of this. So just appreciate like, you know, like what like God has gifted like our country with. So that's definitely imperative. And, you know, explore. I want to go to Senegal, see my cousin there, you know, also, you know, the family there too as well. So. That part, yes, you know, and lastly, it's just like you said, like Bonaboy said, recharge your energy. Why recharge? You know, the last one is a byproduct.
Yeah,
you know, by doing so, it's the ultimate recharge. I never get more recharged or more up, you know, ready for the new year, more motivated, more sense of, you know, more humble than when I go home, and you know, it's like puts everything into perspective for me. So. That's definitely like, yeah, that's definitely, I would say, my third point.
Man, to the point of exploring the, our countries, there's so much just, first of all, like, from a landscape standpoint, you can get just about everything in Uganda, with the exception to deserts, right? But vegetation wise, you know, Lake Victoria is there, the Nile is there, so many falls like Murchison Falls.
Yeah, you guys have Lake Victoria.
You know, it's so, we have Sese Islands, which is on Lake Victoria. It's,
right, we don't appreciate it. I want to see you go to these places. I want to see you go to this place. I want to see this picture. So,
trust and believe. I can make
plans to, you know,
trust and believe.
You don't step into it.
Trust and believe, I'll be taking pics, bro. But I mean, like I said, pictures of
this is what we want to do. We want to promote it because I want to see it and see, like, wow, this is Uganda. I want to go. Same take for you, you know. So it's how we started, you know, and start, you know, building off and showing, you know, showing a different picture of our countries and what we appreciate and like about it. You know, it's not beyond Googling the Gambia or Googling the Uganda, you know, see what it's like. So,
you know, me, I'm always going to be promoting food. So,
ha, this guy at his chop. Food, this guy at his chop. You see, well, what was the food I had?
Oh, so you had pilau.
I had pilau, guys, for the first time.
Pilau.
Slapped.
Boy,
that's slap, boy.
I'm telling you, people still sleeping on pilau, but
sheesh. Yeah, it was
pilau, good. Rolex. All my Ugandans know what a Rolex is. So Rolex, there's a, on the way to Jinja's another city, there's a place called Namuajolo, and that's where they sell like the chicken off the side of the road. And we have this, it's not exactly plantain, but it's called gonja. It's like, it's a banana. They sell that there.
A banana?
Yeah.
It's, you know me, I'm a sweet tooth guy. What desserts do you guys have in Uganda? Bro, what's your favorite dessert? Or are you guys not dessert people like that?
I can't even say we're dessert people like that.
Do you guys have porridge?
Of course.
Okay, well, they make porridge. Morning. I love porridge.
In the morning. Millet porridge, that's fire. My personal favorite, bro, is tea and bread.
You know what we have? We have this word in Wolof we call ponce. Uh-huh. Ponce means you take the bread and dip it in the tea.
Oh, bro, standard.
Haha, correct guy. Correct guy. People are like, oh, you nasty.
Do you have Blue Band? Do you know what that is?
What's that? Is it tea?
No, it's like margarine that you put on your bread.
Oh, I can't remember. Probably. Okay. But like the butter, you mean?
It's basically butter.
Bro. You guys had Ovaltine too, right?
What's it called?
Ovaltine. You guys didn't have Ovaltine? It's like a hot chocolate type?
Yeah.
Bro. Did. So for me, like, yeah, I was ponce. Always ponce. You know, I would get like the Ovaltine, you know, get like the fresh bread in the morning from the bakery, you know. Little bit of butter and that, you know, and dug that in there. That's like, oh, bruh. You know?
I guess our desserts.
That's my inner local boy.
Yeah. Hey.
Inner village man. We all have our inner village man.
You know,
you local seen... man. You know?
Local man is local, in Sophia Paints.
Look, local man is in Sophia. Local man was in happiness. Local man say, this is it.
You've seen my African dad slippers, bro. That's how I'm going to be walking
guys,
around.
Guys, July 4th, we launched the, this last July 4th, we launched the African Dance Association of slippers. But I need to find those sandals. You know what I'm gonna do this time too? You know, I'll be coming there. Okay, you know, I'm contradicting myself too. You know, I'll be talking about shit about, you know, these semesters trying to be all American and shit, you know. Like, I don't be wearing like the local shit only if I gotta go for like Friday prayers in the mosque or on Fridays that I wear local. Like this time, man, I'm gonna be rocking like the locals.
Hey,
sandals everywhere moving, like, you know.
I might even, we have this thing called a kanzu. How do you call it in
is it a attire?
Yeah, but it's just what do you call it when you like in Dubai the thing that the guys wear. I don't know the English name for it. We call it a kanzu.
Kanzu?
Yeah.
I think people know what you're saying.
You don't know what a kanzu is?
Is it long?
Yeah, it's like a male dress.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
what do you call it in Gambia?
Haftan.
Okay, we call it kanzu.
Yeah,
see, man, them in the side of the road in a kanzu.
Oh, okay.
With the flip flops.
Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah. With the toes out, you know.
Oh, sitting on the side of the tree like that.
We, you know, that's why we played it. Africa, prepare. We're coming home. You know.
Boy, if you see me in any brand wear, slap me.
Nah,
please.
I'm capping. You gonna see me wearing so yeah, not wearing that. I'm capping, guys.
Yeah.
I'm capping. Hey, I'll try. I understand what you're saying, though. Embrace our local attire more.
Yeah.
I'll try. Naturally, I'm not like that, but I'll definitely try and make an effort. I'm usually just do that on Fridays, usually only.
My thing about the local wear is it has to be tailored. It's not mass-produced, you know?
It has to be tailored. You got to have it tailored. And, you know, we have that privilege.
Bro, that tailor is going to take a month to make your clothes.
On point, fam. On point.
By the time he makes it, I'm out the country. Now I got to wait for the next person to come bring it here. When he brings it here, Now I'm overweight.
That's true.
Life is hard.
Is malaria is it still active in Uganda, or it's not as much?
Not as much. Okay. Man. Like, I'm for the less fortunate it might be, but not as
bad. Yeah, I mean, same thing for us. But like, my dad would always give me like, so another like thing we can mention there. You know, most people know about malaria in Africa with mosquitoes, especially West Africa. So, like, when I'm always coming back, my dad gets me the anti-malaria medicine to bring back.
They don't
actually have it here.
So, yeah.
You know, that's also another of our experience.
I take a pill once a week.
Some people they go out there. I'm not. You know, I'm on. You know, us. I don't need that. What you mean,
bro? No cap. 2016 when I got back, I think I was sick for a little while.
Oh, please let me touch wood.
Because I didn't follow through.
You know, I'm already out here with this little cold. So yeah,
the body's not used.
But you know, and it's like, you know what? Man, sorry, we might be rubbing into people, but we ain't gonna be in this cold, fam.
Bruh,
we gonna be having like 80. It's gonna be like Christmas. So it's gonna be 85 degrees, 95 degrees. New Year. Okay, not 95. Please say 80s. You know, but like, it's gonna be warm. It's gonna be hot.
Yo, I'm taking bare linen pants and shorts in my luggage.
Looks like Hotboy Summer might have to activate again. Hold on, wait a minute.
You thought it was over.
How about someone might be activated again? Because look, so bruh,
mad.
We ain't going to be in the winter, man. We don't need to be padded up out here, fam.
You know, actually, East Africa is going through some crazy rains right now.
Oh, hey.
So, hey, please, rain when I come.
You know what we say? Hey, rain, go again.
Little children want to play.
Nah, for real. And watching football too, watching Premier League
will be on proper time. Sweet.
Guys, we don't have to wake up anymore at 7 a.m.
6-7 a.m.
This would have be to nice.
Get disappointed by Manchester.
You know, after lunch.
If they want to disappoint me, it could be after lunch. No,
I've at least half the good part of my day done.
You know?
You know?
And something big in Uganda, especially for us, is rugby. Local rugby.
Yeah.
Catch a lot of those games. Have a beer on the side.
Of course.
You know, on the weekend. Maybe watch some local basketball games too. Man, it's a blessing.
So it's nostalgia, as you guys can tell. We're very excited. Like, this is what we, you know, I've been looking forward to this for the last 3 months. There's no place like home, man. No place like home. You know, I've been looking forward to it. So last year, like, you know, we were here and it's just not the same. It's not just the same, so
yeah.
You know, this is where we come back recharged.
Nah, real shit though. Like, go home, people. Go home.
And if you haven't been, and like I said, like, it's a beautiful place, man. I'm serious. We're not just saying this because we're from this place. It's just, you know, like,
what's that Beyonce say? Find your way back.
Find your way back. She like, you said it though.
That's a good tune.
You sang it before earlier this episode.
Was I singing?
Uh huh. You say TV or whatever.
But I just burst out. You know, I burst into random ad libs sometimes.
How are you gonna end this with the movie talk?
Oh yeah. Who recommended that?
So I want to give shout out to, I know Ajimeri had recommended a movie for us because we talked about, you know, like African movies, and we talked about last episode we were gonna get a list for y'all to. Over the break to, you know, Hulu and relax, or, you know, I'm not gonna say Netflix and chill, but to you know, to watch movies over the break, you know. So we came up with a list to watch and do whatever, you know, relax, whatever. You know, you guys get the gist. But, you know, also Ajimeri had recommended, so shout out Ajimeri for recommending a movie. But we kind of have a list for y'all over the break, you know, to watch these movies that we saw as quality African films, or show an African story in some way. So drop it, General.
The first one,
we'll also, before you start, sorry, we'll also post it when we're posting the list.
We'll post the list for sure.
Most of these are on Netflix or Prime Video.
Or Prime, yeah. And if you don't have access to that, there's so many streaming services.
Look. Hey, Ivan. Sorry, we're not promoting any bootleg downloading or any. You know.
Hey, we play by the rules. Most times,
Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Relax. You know, like, those are the only ones we approve of. any other way of you getting a means of this movie, we did not tell you to do so.
Somebody collect this man. He said Hulu and relax.
Telling you, fam, you know, you gotta be country, you gotta be careful, fam. You can't be out here telling people to go and illegally download movies.
We don't propagate. We didn't approve for that. But sorry,
go ahead. Theft. Go ahead. Yeah. No the, copyright.
The African Doctor.
The African Doctor is a great movie.
So it's about a Congolese doctor that.
Yep.
So he graduated school in France, right?
Yes. Then he went to Congo.
Came back to Congo.
Yeah.
I think didn't find too much success as a doctor there. Got a job as a doctor in some village in France.
Small village in France.
Which he thought he was going to Paris, and his family thought he was going to Paris. We're all excited, too.
You know.
And they get to France, and they're in this just dump of a village.
Yep.
And it talks about his experience.
And they're like the only black people in the village, and it's a shock to everyone. And this is based out of the 60s, and it's based on his true story as well.
And it talks about how, I mean, first of all, in the 60s, being a black man in France, in a village, a lot of ignorance, you know.
Village needed a doctor, and guess what?
The African doctor shows up. African doctor. So excellent movie. Actually, top movie right
there. Okay, what's the next one?
Of course, the OG. What's that bar you were saying earlier?
Huh?
The where's the diamond? Where is the diamond? Where is the diamond? Do you see the diamond?
But I used to be the
same. Honestly, bro, for how
this
well...
This is my top five of all time.
For how well Leonardo did a South African accent...
This guy.
I gotta give it to him, man.
T.I.A.
I gotta give it to him, bro. He killed that South African accent.
Man, that bro, this is my top five.
The movie is Blood Diamond. Yo.
Blood Diamond. If you have not seen Blood Diamond, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You are a joker.
You are a certified joker.
Certified joker. We should stamp you certified joker.
Certified.
Blood Diamond, I think, is just one of those classic.
It's a story
movies
that we people have to see.
Yeah, I mean it. Let me not speak too
guys,
much.
Guys, Blood Diamond. It's on Netflix too.
Collect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How you say this? I know it translates to the untouchables, but it's less untouchables.
Look, so
man don't speak French.
Man,
you know?
Man don't French the man.
Man don't
man
English.
Man don't English thing, in it. Can you repeat?
Man don't do no français.
Less,
you know,
less untouchables.
Oui, oui,
oui, oui.
You know, man's on the English,
bruh.
Never the French.
Never the French, in it.
Big up my French peoples, though.
Look, what did you say? What's the name of the movie?
Hey, Les Intouchables. You heard? I don't even know. I never know how to say it, but Kevin Hart tried to remake this movie, but the original, you just can't. You can't do it justice, man. It's I forget the name of the actor, but it's like a Senegalese actor.
Omar C.
What's his name?
Is it Omar C?
Omar something, yeah.
Omar C.
Yeah.
Great actor.
And he plays the role of a caregiver to a French aristocrat who wasn't even supposed to get that job. And talks about their journey together and how basically the two of them create balance. Now, I think it was based on, I think the original, it's a true story, but I think the original guy was maybe some sort of North African. But it speaks to a profession that a lot of immigrants do take when they leave their countries and come to, say, Europe or come to America, which is caregiving, you know? If you find a lot of adult homes here, they're ran by a lot of Africans. And I could probably say the same in Europe. But Les Intouchables, you heard?
Les Intouchables.
The Intouchables is what it translates to. Oui, excellent movie.
Great movie.
And then actually from the same actor is Samba.
Samba, yes.
What's the vibes on that one?
So Samba as well, this one my older sister said she had recommended to me like way back to watch it. It's a great movie. It's on Prime Video, Amazon Prime, and it's basically Omar Sy as well. He plays this Senegalese immigrant, undocumented, trying to, you know, it shows the story of in Paris, they're there, they're trying to make a living, trying to scrapping for jobs, running away from police authorities, you know. Mm-hmm. So it shows really that struggle, how hard it is for these undocumented immigrants in Paris, you know, and in the end, like, the immigration lady she's working with, you know, sees something in him, you know, tries to help him out, and I ain't gonna give the whole movie, but, you know, it shows that story of, you know, what a lot of these undocumented immigrants in Paris, in France, especially. Like, I remember when I went to Paris, like, my sister, I remember her first experience. She's like, it was horrible. There were, like, people all over the trains, like, homeless, undocumented immigrants. So, if you go to Paris, you know, it's not all flowers and, you know, and roses and croissants. And that, you know, like, it's a true story. You go to this day, you go to Gare du Nord station. I remember there, you know, it was very sad to see, like, your fellow African brothers are there, and, like, struggling, yeah, undocumented, you know, some are homeless, you know. That's when a lot of them, you know, some are just tired hustling, sadly, some are even stealing, you know, trying to make it, you know, unless they have to go and rescue someone from a balcony to get French citizenship. That's the only way, you know.
That's a mad thing that you said. That's a true story for those who don't
know. True story, by the way. So, apparently in France, that's the only way to, if you're undocumented, you gotta go rescue someone, you know. You better climb 10 floors to rescue someone. Or else, so, what did Trevor Noah say? He was an undocumented black immigrant. He was an undocumented African when he was on the floor. But once he saved the baby, he became French. So, you know, but, you know, it all ties into play. So Samba captures that story, and it kind of shows too the passion, like this passionate lady, how she, you know, and stuff like that. So great story. Omar Sy. Shout out to Omar Sy. Great French actor.
He's a very good actor.
Senegalese origin.
Senegalese, yeah. The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. This is out of Malawi. Now,
I like this one.
I like this one. However, I've heard mixed reviews because I spoke with a lady from Malawi, and she said that the whole thing about the
drought and everything.
About the
story?
The civil war, maybe. Yeah, she said that was a bit exaggerated.
It's a movie. Stop telling, you know, it's a movie.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people on the ground who will, you know, have their mixed emotions.
We're talking about the storylines.
The storyline, I think, is very, very, very well done. The Boy Harnessed the Wind is basically about a boy who, it's pretty. The title speaks to it.
It's a show, you know. I related to it because there was this real life story of this kid in Sierra Leone. Like his village, they wanted to listen to radio music on the DJ, but they didn't have any radios.
Yeah.
So he went and found like some transistors, you know, found scrap parts, and he built a radio and had a radio station. And he even got to MIT. He became very famous.
I remember that story.
You know,
yeah.
The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind is kind of around the same. It just shows like, you know, like basically, if our children had, you know, proper education, or, you know, we're still very extremely smart. Like, look at what someone can achieve. These kids. So,
and it's along those lines. I think he ended up at, was it Harvard or something?
Probably.
So anyway, Malawi's going through a drought, and I'm not going to spoil it too much, but he harnessed the wind.
Yeah.
Make what you will of that, or just watch the movie.
Yeah, so, you know, and it was directed by, you know, Chiwetel. What's his last name? Ojiofor? Chiwetel. But, you know, you guys know him. Y'all know Chiwetel. He's the man. So, he's
the man.
You know?
That's another great movie. What's this? Atlantics?
Yeah, that's the one that Ajibe had recommended.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Atlantics. And then, are we throwing, what's it, Lionhead? Or Lionheart, rather? Lionheart.
Well, I like Mokalik, but we can put it, you know.
So, Mokalik is about...
That's the one.
The mechanic, right?
So that's also another one. Well, my sister recommended it to me because it plays into whole mechanical engineering and stuff. But in the end, like, it's a really good movie. Two Simis in the movie, if you guys, you know, if that's going to motivate you to watch it. She sings Joromi even in the movie. Sorry for spoilers. But it's about basically, like, same thing, you know. Like, you have kids growing up. A lot of us, like, especially... I mean, it's the case. Like, a lot of those boys, we were very, you know, into, like, cars and want to know how to fix it.
Yeah.
But probably at school, we didn't have the attention span or didn't care. So, the storyline is basically, like, you know, this rich man or good man, whatever, well-standing guy in Nigeria, drops his son off for a whole day to be an apprentice, you know, at the shop. So in there, you know, the goal is, like, he told the head of the shop, you know, to just treat him like any other apprentice. So take him through each station, show him the real work, you know. And so while the kid is going there, you know, he's having this experience learning the different trades, what it involves, how to fix a car. He's going through each phase of, you know, car fix, you know, like where to fix it, like paint, engine work.
Electrics. He knows a little bit too.
You know, it's not like he's completely learning. The kid had that curiosity. Mm-hmm. So it's showing, you know, it was a very unique way of showing, like, hey, like, the different ways you want to spark your curiosity, you still got to do a hands-on, like what it involves, you know. Yeah. And there's an aspect with him knowing which airline was landing, which was pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
But that was another good movie. It was another way of showing, like, you know, African ingenuity.
Mm-hmm.
I fucked up that word. But, you know, it's a good way of capturing it. That's what I was saying.
And, man, growing up, we watched so many Nollywood movies, but we also watched a lot of South African movies.
Oh, okay.
The South African scene is there's, I don't know how to say the word. Is it Tsotsi or, like, anyway, loosely, that it's about a dude who got robbed. But South Africa, they make so many good movies, like Oh Shucks, I'm Gutville. We grew up watching that. What was his name? Leon Schuster. He was a good South African director, Afrikaans director. And South Africa's big, man. South Africa's got a big movie scene. So y'all just tap in. Tap in, never tap out. You understand?
Yeah. So was there any other movie we had? We'll also post this list, guys, of where to find these movies.
But I think that's it.
Okay.
Like this, we had I'm
definitely the only one I haven't seen there was Atlantic, so I'm gonna make sure I watch that one.
Okay.
So is there anything else you got?
As far as the movies, I don't think like there's that many more that we didn't mention. But anyway,
Well, this is the end, fam.
Episode 10.
Season 1 concludes. We just came like to that. America. We came, we saw. Now we going back.
Now we going back.
Yep.
Season 2 is definitely going to be filled with a lot of adventure.
Oh, yeah. You know?
I'm going to switch up the theme. It's no longer
going to be. No, yeah. It's not going to be. As you guys know, this is a Coming to America theme, right? You know? So. You know, we're hopping on the Concorde.
This guy said Concorde.
We're going back the other way, you know? Like Jidena said, we're going back to Africa. Highway 85
to Africa, yeah.
So,
he's in Uganda right now.
I saw that.
This guy, I'm sad I'm missing the concert, but...
Oh, he's having a concert there?
Yeah, he's performing at this thing called Blankets and Wine. It's a popular thing, but Jidena's a great performer. For anyone who has a show, he's a great performer.
He's like... Huge Pan-Africanist.
And the thing that I love about he's out in the, like, in the
country. Yeah, he ain't doing no fugazi, whitewashed tourist ass shit. You know, he's actually, like, exploring.
He was on Lake Victoria. I saw that.
I saw that.
He's been playing local games, like.
I know. He's having a true African experience.
Like, proper.
Proper.
Kicking it with the little kids. Shout out to Jidena, man.
I saw it. Yeah, we've been giving a shout out to Jidena.
And
the big man.
He's gonna go there and give you guys a performance.
Yeah, but you know, it's been good. It's been good. This season, you know, thank you guys again.
Thanks for all the love. Thanks for listening. Season 2 is coming in 2020. Stay posted. You guys have a happy and safe holiday season.
Safe holidays, you know, safe travels to anyone going back home.
Safe travels.
Yep.
Anyone staying here. Enjoy your life.
You know, remember, you know, just make sure you know, like my dad said, make sure you stay cool, you stay warm, you know.
Exactly.
Wear heavy jackets, you know. So, yeah, to those staying, you know, make sure you wear those heavy jackets, you know. Let us know how cold it is, you know. We'll make sure we give you
thumbs up. We'll come back with pictures.
Yeah, we'll show you thumbs up.
And spices.
Yeah, yeah.
that's the biggest thing, you coming back with spices and tea, bro.
Of course. So. But yeah, well, you know, like I said, it's been great, bro. Yeah. You know, 10 episodes are already gone, so. Here's to the future, isn't it?
Final peace out for the season. Coming back with season 2. Peace, love, and prosperity. We're out.